You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
At 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, in a matter of hours, the U.S. President Donald Trump's latest ultimatum for Iran expires. He wants Iran to agree an acceptable deal that includes the free flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz, or he has threatened to take Iran out.
Now, we'll see what happens. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. We're getting the help of some incredible countries that want this to be ended because it affects them also. A lot of people are affected by this, but we're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone ages. Yeah.
Right. That's Donald Trump. I'm joined now by Patrick Bury, who is senior security lecturer at the University of Bath and former NATO analyst. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
What do you think needs to happen to avert that outcome at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning? Or has he made so many threats that it's hard to take them seriously at this stage?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, isn't it? You know, I think this is his fourth changing of the, you know, the deadline, as far as I can count. So obviously there's actually some optimism there and that maybe he won't follow through on it. And there'd be another deadline if there's progress in these negotiations. I mean, there's a lot we don't know here, Claire. It's very sketchy in the open source in terms of what is being negotiated, how credible those negotiations may or may not be. We think the Pakistanis are helping the process, probably the Omanis as well. They've been involved in getting the Dubai Air Corridor set out and have links into the Iranians. So, but there's a long way, certainly, from the statements. I mean, they seem poles apart in terms of the where they could be in terms of a deal. You know, the Americans have come out with their 15-point peace plan. The Iranians responded with the 5 points. And there's so much difference between the scope of what's involved in those, the sequencing and also the lack of trust that, you know, I hope something can be done. It's very unpredictable, of course, with Trump as well. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly difficult to say where this is going to be, even 14 hours away or whatever it is.
Well, in the last few minutes, I saw live pictures of J.D. Vance and his wife Usha arriving in Budapest. But there is talk of him being drafted in at the last minute to those talks in Pakistan, which Steve Witkoff is involved on behalf of the United States at the moment. J.D. Vance has been very quiet, hasn't he, on the rights and wrongs of this decision to take it to Iran to start this conflict in the first place. But it seems he will be instrumental in any peace talks if they get that far.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, J.D. Vance is a very interesting character in terms, like Pete Hegseth. He is former military, so served in Iraq, and he is very anti-military intervention. He's of that sort of make America great again, complete unintervention mindset. And he has been very quiet on this. He's also Thiel's man. It's sort of, you know, Peter Thiel of Palantir fame and prior to that PayPal. So he's got influence and backing behind him. It would be very interesting to see what kind of credibility he brings to the negotiations, because what I've heard is that actually the ones with the power inside Donald Trump's cabinet are much more like Rubio and some of the Treasury Secretary as well, even less so J.D. Vance and Hegseth. But the interesting thing is he'd bring the credibility of the White House to the negotiations. So it would be showing that the things are getting more serious by bringing an official stamp, more official than, say, Witkoff, for example. Uh-huh.
Well, we saw that social media post from Donald Trump overnight, riddled with profanities and bad spelling. And it's just been fascinating to see Iranian embassies around the world on social media, mainly on X, trolling him, you know, calling him a caveman, calling him a sore loser brat. And it makes you wonder whether the Iranians take that threat seriously, you know, that he's going to attack their power plants and their bridges come 1 a.m. our time.
I think they do, but there's, you know, you'd have to take that seriously, given the capabilities of the US military and the fact that they've launched, you know, over 13,000 strikes and destroyed numerous targets. It doesn't mean that they've had, you know, for all the tactical and operational successes they've had, it hasn't translated into strategic effect, because Iran, by dint of geography, has quickly regionalized and then globalized the war and closed the strait. So there's that element of, you know, okay, well, you haven't had the full outcome in terms of strategic effect of your campaign yet, but nevertheless, it's clearly a highly lethal bombing campaign. So they will take the threat very seriously. But what you're seeing, I think, and the Iranians are pretty good at this, especially with their sort of AI-generated Lego cartoons, which are coming out repeatedly, either mocking the pilot being shot down or Trump, you know, dragging us into World War III. It's quite a accessible and scalable, cheap propaganda campaign, which I think is probably landing. And it plays on those concerns we have about Trump, you know, most of us anyway, in terms of, you know, whether he has thought this through, for example, what his potential mental state is, these kind of themes, which, you know, can resonate not just with, of course, the Iranian, but it's targeted the global audience. And I think that's kind of interesting how adept and flexible they've been at doing that. Uh-huh. Even for a regime that's not popular, you know, globally not popular, it's still landing some blows in the information space.
And do you know what Donald Trump wants at this point?
Well, I think if you look at the 15-point plan, you know, there's a sort of four main points. One is about the nuclear enrichment and the monitoring. So, you know, capping Iranian enrichment at low levels, reducing the stockpiles, making sure there's snap inspections, amongst others. Then there's the sanctions relief. And this is about sequencing. They're basically saying, like, we will consider really sanctions and lifting those, but gradually. And gradually allowing, you know, frozen overseas assets to come back into the channel. But in return for that, we want to see de-escalation of the proxy conflicts, especially the Houthis, Hezbollah, etc. And the commitment to this opening the Strait of Hormuz. And then you've got the missile thing. So it's a really comprehensive deal they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And the Iranians, on the other hand, of course, are saying, well, we want full sanctions removal up front. It's a bit like the Russia-Ukraine thing, which is, you know, obviously completely dropped off the news. But the way the Russians are like, well, there's no deal until there's a final deal. And the Ukrainians are like, let's talk about what the deal would look like. And obviously they want guarantees the US won't strike, and Israel wouldn't strike them again. And the recognition of their own right, the Iranian right to enrich uranium. So there's a lot of difference, and you can see space between how people are trying to queue this up. But it doesn't mean that in negotiations that may well be happening now, that they can be starting to move away from their stated, you know, public positions.
Yeah, I mean, he says all of that. And you mentioned the fairly reasonable demands in the 15 points that the Pakistanis are helping mediate. But then Donald Trump will do a press conference and rant about taking all of the oil. And it makes you question what his motivation was in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that quote is in relation to go get your own oil, is it? And opening the Strait of Hormuz to the European allies who've been reticent to get involved with their maritime forces and try to force the issue. What I think you're seeing in the UK at the moment is they're hosting a conference about what a potential naval operation or demining operation in the Strait could look like. We're not sure if the Strait has actually been mined or to what extent. But I think there's maybe the outline of what they're trying to get to is the UK and France would lead on a maritime operation, obviously with US help, that if the threat level came down and there was some ceasefire, Trump is talking about a potentially 45-day ceasefire. If the threat from Iran came down during that kind of ceasefire period, then the European and other naval forces could move in and form a sort of coalition that would, under a lower threat environment, would be able to provide some security for the oil and gas ships to get out. Now, the interesting thing is if they got into place and didn't have to fight their way in, then, of course, it's easier for them to sustain that if the threat was starting to rise again. So the Iranians would probably have something to say about that, whether it would be acceptable for them or not. But I think you're starting to see that that's another track in this, that if there is some sort of ceasefire and lowering down of the threat, the Europeans, because of the pressure they've been under from Trump, think they may have to do something and send those forces in. Mm-hmm.
Of course, it is illegal under international law to target power plants, isn't it? And we had previous threats to take out desalination plants, also against the international rules of engagement. Just on the strait, though, itself, we have seen shipping from some countries getting through, Malaysia overnight, the Philippines, Japan and India. So they're clearly striking separate deals with Iran, although it's not clear, is it, whether there's a new tariff regime now in place. We're not getting details on how those deals are being reached.
Yeah, and there was also a report I need to check, but also a French-flagged or French-owned vessel got through as well. So, listen, countries are clearly using their diplomatic channels, etc. There was also a report about 10 days ago in the Financial Times saying that there was a system set up through sort of shadow banking, etc., where it was costing for a normal-sized large cargo vessel of oil about $2 million to get it through, which worked out, for the whole shipping cost at only basically an extra $1 a barrel. So, of course, that's what everyone's worth, that's worth doing. Mm-hmm. And that was what was greasing the wheels to get things through. Don't know if it still exists. I presume it probably is. The Iranians are adept at shadow banking, et cetera, like that, and setting up these systems. So it looks like there's something along those lines. But of course, it's only going to be for favored nations or ones that are have got good diplomatic ties at the moment with the Iranians. So
what do you expect then to happen? I'm just looking back on his post, the one peppered with expletives, and the threat that Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day. They'll go back to the Stone Ages. They'll have no bridges. They'll have no power plants. He's threatened to take the entire country out in one night over the course of 4 hours. And that deadline comes at 1 o'clock our time. So, Patrick, there's not much time to go before we get there. Do you think he will carry out, that he will act on that threat?
It's very, very difficult to say. I think, anyone who speaks with kind of high level of confidence in this, given the unpredictability of Trump and the fact that he's changed the goalposts and keeps moving them with warnings, it's difficult to say whether he would see this through. And again, it's also very difficult to know how the next few hours and this pressure will shape negotiations. That's the key thing. And I also think, one of the interesting things here is his personality. Can he be seen with his tendencies, etc., to back down fully on the world stage? That's my worry. And of course, if they hit, it's an interesting thing, like bridges are actually dual use. They've been military targets for years. You can hit bridges. That's very clear. We've seen the bombing. Think of the Second World War, bombing of ports, bombing of power facilities, etc. It just happens. Look what's going on in Ukraine. They're targeting constantly, mainly the Russians targeting the Ukrainian energy infrastructure. If you make the case that it's dual use, it's a legitimate target, then they have to be proportionate about it. So it's a very, very interesting situation. I think it's quite delicately balanced. And I, to be honest with you, in this one, Claire, I just don't really know what's going to happen. There's too many variables to call it exactly. It's good. There's some good news if France gets out there and it adds that stamp of officialdom, but it's going to go down to the wire, I think.
All right, another wait and see situation. Patrick, thank you very much. That's Patrick Bury, and later on we'll hear from retired US Colonel Seth Crumrick on this. We'll get his interesting take. He used to be inside the tent. Now he's advising clients in the Middle East on security and on safety, so we'll find out what he thinks. Also,
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.